Welcome to Africa Media Matters. In this episode, we profile IWPR's Nigeria Election Support Program.
48 journalists suffered abuse and violations in the run-up to, during, and even after votes were counted in the April.
That was the voice of the Nigerian Election News Report, a news service established by the Institute for War and Peace Reporting in the run-up to this year's election in Nigeria. As Nigeria prepared for the ballot, the fourth since the end of military rule in 1999, IWPR teamed up with the Nigerian International Press Center to produce election-related news for journalists to help them play their part in a free and fair poll. Funded by USAID, the International Republican Institute, and the UK's Department for International Development, the project disseminated news directly to its target audience in an innovative way. Audio versions of stories were delivered free of charge to the mobile phones of almost 2,000 subscribing journalists across Nigeria. Those with access to the internet could also view and listen to the stories online. Ivor Gaber, professor of journalism at City University in London, was part of IWPR's program, first as a trainer in election reporting workshops for local journalists and later as the first editor of the Nigerian Election News Report, or NENR.
We ran workshops in five different cities across Nigeria, and talking to the trainees at those workshops, they were working journalists. It was clear that the talents of Nigerian journalists and the quality of the news they're able to deliver is being inhibited by three major factors. First, there's poor pay, and in some cases, no pay. Secondly, the political interests of their owners, public and private, were often used to distort the news that they were trying to report. And thirdly, for the journalists, a daily fear of physical violence.
Deji Elumoye, vice chair of the Lagos branch of the Nigerian Union of Journalists, discussed these issues with the coordinator of IWPR's Nigeria program, Veronica Oakeshott.
One of the challenges has to do with the lack of adequate funding. Some of our members have been owed 3 months, 6 months salaries by their various employers. Where members come to us and complain that they are being owed. We even have an instance where they are being owed up to 12 months.
What impact do those salary problems have on the quality of journalism? Does it affect the journalists' ability to do their job in terms of free and fair journalism in Nigeria?
Yeah, it has a lot of impact on free and fair journalism. To some extent, some of our members, some of them had to compromise. And at the end of the day, it's like who pays the paper dictates the tune.
A lot of the broadcast media in Nigeria are owned or effectively controlled by the state or the federal government. Do you find that that's something that bothers your members?
Yeah, to some extent, I have some of our members complaining. Now, most times, the brief they get is to work solely on pro-government stories.
Seiva Okereke, the secretary of the Lagos State Council of the Nigerian Union of Journalists, agrees that censorship is a problem.
In this side of the country, we have serious censorship of the media. And here, if a politician is affected, he would like you to stop this story. And if you fail to do that, of course, you know what will happen to you. In this side of the country, anything can happen.
Veronica Oakeshott, the IWPR coordinator, and workshop trainer Lanre Arogundade, who heads the International Press Center, outlined how the workshops addressed these challenges.
The IWPR workshops were designed to encourage participating journalists to take an ethical approach and to make them aware of the importance of balanced reporting, particularly in the run-up to the elections. They also helped journalists with practical skills, for example, about how to get the most out of interviews with politicians and how to stay safe. We advise journalists that ultimately no story was worth paying for with their life.
The training package was quite unique in the sense that it wasn't just a case of trainers coming and making presentations and then just asking questions. It was quite practical. It was quite interactive. And the lead trainer, Professor Ivor Gaber, was able to bring a number of clips of how the media in the UK and the United States covered elections. So it was possible for the journalists to see examples of what you could call best professional practices in reporting, you know, elections. Then again, there was the aspect of the training that had to do with conflict. And because of the conflict that had been taking place in different parts of Nigeria, especially in the northern part, even before the elections, many journalists were interested in this and the whole issue of how they could conduct themselves in a safe manner.
In one of the places where you were doing some training in Kaduna, there was post-election violence. Would there have been aspects of the training program that would support the journalists in their everyday work in those environments?
Well, during the training, we had talked about various forms of, you know, safety tips, how they could, you know, protect themselves, ensure that they're alive to report their stories. And so journalists in those areas were able to apply that knowledge. Apart from Kaduna, there was a specific case of Nasarawa State, where one of the trainees, a female journalist, was attached to the office of the deputy governor. Now, in Nigeria, when you are asked to cover the activities of a governor or a deputy governor, you are more or less part of what you could call their domestic staff. They move together and so on. And then the lady was saying that, well, she was apprehensive, but given what she learned during the training in terms of how to protect themselves, she felt she was well prepared. And as a matter of fact, on one occasion, I think the convoy of the deputy governor was attacked. And basically what she said was that she was prepared for that assignment because she felt with what she had learned in the workshop, there would be no problem.
We recognise that training has its limits. It takes more than good training to overcome the problems of media ownership and poor pay. The journalist who's being tempted with a bribe to write nice stories about an incompetent politician has really to be offered an alternative. That's why IWPR worked with the International Press Centre to set up a special news service in the run-up to the Nigerian elections.
Ivar Geiber was the first editor of the NENR service.
Our first job was to set up a network of journalists. The core members were our workshop trainees, but their journalist friends and contacts also signed up until we had names, phone numbers and details of almost 2,000 Nigerian journalists. We gathered stories from these journalists who were living and working across the country.
Hello, this is the Nigerian Election News Report from the International Press Centre in Lagos.
The Nigerian Election News Report team edited these stories into pithy 150-word reports. We recorded them in-house using local radio presenters. These recordings were then put onto a mobile phone system which called the 2,000 journalists in our network every day, meaning that just by carrying their phone around with them, they had constant access to the news. This was a service by journalists for journalists. Every day, the Nigerian journalists would get a phone call with a selection of news stories covering issues like the electoral promises of candidates, political analysis or corruption cases. This left them better equipped to do their job of reporting the Nigerian elections.
News stories were also made available online. Veronica Oakshott said the NENR website proved a big hit with journalists.
It offered a much faster news service than more traditional news outlets. This proved very important, actually. For example, the first round of elections in Nigeria, the parliamentary poll, suffered a last-minute setback, as ballot papers didn't even reach polling stations by the time the elections had started. At midday on polling day, a Saturday, the head of the International Electoral Commission announced that the elections would be postponed until the following Monday. He quietly changed his mind the next day, delaying the ballot further, but also leaving the public confused and without information. NENR publicised the new election date, and over 1,000 journalists logged on to find out what was happening.
The news service's rapid reporting of events was just one of its selling points. Lanre Arugundade explains why else he thinks the service is different.
The news report is unique in the sense that we are taking stories from journalists from all these diverse backgrounds, and ownership is not a barrier to getting your story used. Once the story meets our basic criteria of being fair and objective and balanced, then we go ahead and use the story. So I would feel that the news service, in a short space of time, has been able to offer a much more diverse, you know, stories, objective stories, than the other, you know, media that currently exists, the mainstream media, because all those ones have to contend with all these factors of ownership, business interest, and the rest of them. Our journalists are basically, you know, free to report. I think that's, you know, freedom to report on political and election issues that are of public interest is what really distinguishes us from the other media.
But setting up a news service in a matter of weeks and gathering high-quality news from across Nigeria is no mean feat.
We started doing radio recording without having a formal studio. That in itself was quite, you know, challenging, having, you know, to record. But now we're moving towards having mini studio, and that would really, you know, help us. We've also have the challenges of internet access. Now, even here in our office, we've invested a lot in having internet access. We have broadband, and sometimes they just don't work. It's a peculiar, you know, Nigerian, you know, problem. But for the journalists, some of them don't even have laptops, talk less of laptops that have internet access. At the peak of the elections, we had to encourage some of the correspondents to text in their stories. So the stories come in by text, and then we now have to type them out and do that. That sometimes slows down the, you know, the production, you know, process. And on a few occasions, you actually had to call to get stories from the journalists to know what is happening, especially during the violence. I remember in about two specific instances in Kaduna and Kano State, the journalists said they could not go out. They are confined to their, you know, locality, and then we had to encourage them to just go around and, you know, talk to people. And then they said, well, if we do this, how do we get a story to you? And I would say, well, okay, we could always call you, or, you know, you just send the stories, you know, by text. So these are the peculiar challenges that we've been facing.
Veronica Oakeshott, the IWPR program coordinator, spoke to Udeme, a national newspaper business journalist, about her experience of writing for NENR.
Your story's been called out to journalists across Nigeria as part of the Nigerian election news report. Does that make you feel proud?
Yes, very proud, and it also makes me understand that I could, as a journalist, I'm not limited. I'm not limited to a particular kind of reporting, so I'm really proud. It was interesting. I learned a lot.
Kayode Atufulaki, a journalist who also participated in the IWPR project, believes NENR will help raise journalistic standards in Nigeria.
It will assist Nigerian journalists and the practice of that of journalism profession. Because where I cannot, if I have good story that I cannot publish in my paper, I will be free to throw it on the web. Is to the advantage of the people.
Now that the general elections are over, Lanre Arugundade was asked about the future of the project.
Even if you look at it from the point of view of elections alone, the general elections are not the only elections that take place in the country. Now we're going to have a series of local government elections. Now the local governments are the closest to the people because basically they operate in the council areas. They're supposed to provide basic facilities for the various communities. They are the closest to the grassroots of all the three tiers of government that we have in Nigeria. So for us, it's also important for the journalists and the public to know what goes on at such levels. So even at the level of elections, we can say that there's still a lot of role that NENR could play. Then beyond elections or post-elections is the fact that there's the need to hold elected leaders accountable to their promises. And this in itself is part of the responsibility given to the Nigerian media by the Constitution. But there's a specific section of the Constitution that says the media in Nigeria should monitor governance and hold government accountable to the people. And one way of doing this effectively is to track electoral promises, follow them up, see how they're performing independently, so that people can come out with objective reports that talk about state of fulfillment as against propaganda. In terms of ensuring that we have good governance and holding leaders accountable, NENR will definitely, you know, have a role to play. And I don't see it as just being something that is only useful for elections alone.
Seiva Okereke from the Nigerian Union of Journalists also says there is good reason to be positive about the future, pointing out that the newly elected president of Nigeria, Goodluck Jonathan, has just passed a Freedom of Information Bill that has been held up for a number of years.
The National Assembly has passed the Freedom of Information Bill, you know, which will give us access to information as we want it. But before now, it's a whole lot of challenges. But if you have liberal journalism, you can just assess the story, you know, do backgrounding, you know, and then publish it in a balanced way, and then the story goes. It's a big plus to the journalism profession in the country.
The 2011 elections were regarded by observers for the International Republican Institute, which monitors elections around the world, as a major step forward in advancing Nigeria's democracy. The journalists who attended our workshops and wrote for the news report played their part in that. But elections are the beginning, not the end of a political story. With 360 newly elected members of the House of Representatives, 26 governors and 109 senators to keep tabs on, work for the IWPR-trained journalists in Nigeria has only just begun. Thank you.